Something like that. Anyway, that's a little joke. I had to put a little joke up there. Anyway, aren't the skit guys great? They did a real good job. As a matter of fact, I think they covered just about everything I was going to cover. Mine's going to take a little longer, but anyway. All right. Resolutions. You can, put that up there. Yeah, just hold off. Hold off. Just keep that up there. Resolutions. Did y'all make any resolutions this year? Huh? In this case, this is yes. This is no. The resolutions. You made a bunch of resolutions. All right. Yeah. I used to make a lot of resolutions. I guess my problem was is as soon as I'd make one, I'd forget it. About maybe an hour or two later, I'd forget it. And I just put a little thought into this and come up with the fact that why don't, instead of a yearly resolution, why don't we do a quarterly resolution? Makes sense to me. But see, that didn't work either. So, yeah, you guessed it. I went to a monthly resolution, and I finally narrowed it down to a day's resolution. Trouble is, and that's good, too. It made me feel real spiritual. So, you know, I get up in the morning, you know, Lord, would you, you know, so forth. And come on in. With the monthly resolutions, the daily resolution, that sounded great. Get up in the morning, ask the Lord, what you want to do, or I wish I could be a better person this day, or whatever. Usually before I ate lunch, I forgot it. And, you know, it would start all over again, just like a cycle. And I heard one person say that the best resolution to make is not to make a resolution. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest, it was with my wife. She'll get me if I don't say that. So. Anyway, a few statistics here. Did you know that 88% of the people out there, men and women, forget they ever made resolutions that year? It's all gone. And men, hooray for men, but by a small percentage, men keep their resolutions a lot better than women do. It's flawed already, isn't it? There's three areas I'd like to look at this morning. And you can post those, Mike. Resolutions we don't need to worry about. Resolutions that we need to strive for. And resolutions, no, not really resolutions, but promises from God. I like to look at those three areas. So, if you have your Bibles, get them out. We're going to turn a lot of pages. Unless you just like to be comfortable and look at the board. Yes. Someone with a blue truck. Anybody? Lewis? Okay. All right. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Verse 13 through 15. Already up here for us. Says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go and go to such and such a city, and spend a year there, and engage in business, and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a little while, and then vanishes away. Meant to say this earlier, but the Bible doesn't really say too much about resolutions, per se, or directly anyway. It doesn't say resolutions are good, doesn't say they're bad, so forth. But it does give us some other hints as Christians on how we can deal with resolutions. And according to this text, basically just don't plan for tomorrow. And if you go to other places like Matthew 6, 25 through 34, a couple of comments there. I don't know if he's there. Yes, you are. Just a couple of comments on that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Gives you kind of an idea that where your perspective might be. Is your perspective on things like worldly things, wherever it might be? And a lot of things the skit guys did, they were good things. Nothing wrong with them. But I think really there's something better. And like they were saying, that you know, you make a resolution and you wind up forgetting it like I did, or hopefully you're better than I am and you can do that resolution throughout the year. But other places, like in and continuing on in that same passage, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough care of itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. And isn't that true? I've been taught not to say that. In Hebrews 6:3, and this we shall do if God permits. The apostle said that. Well, Peter mentioned that, if you believe that Peter wrote Hebrews. And there's several places within the New Testament that the apostles are saying, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll go to Macedonia. If the Lord wills, we'll go here or there. It's always depending on what He wants to do. All right, let's look at our second point, or bullet, and that's resolutions that we need to strive for. Several scriptures there. Consider Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Isn't that awesome? To ask God, talk about a resolution. Instead of saying, let me be a better person at work. Let me do a better job. Have better hygiene. I don't know. Various things. You know what it is. But listen to skit people, you know. So many things we could say to try to better ourselves. And they're not necessarily bad, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, that's 25 cents, I know. But you're asking God to do something. And I think that's the point, that's the difference, is we aren't trying to do it on our own initiative. We aren't relying on ourselves to do these things. We're relying on God to do them in us and through us. And that makes a big difference. Big difference. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If you want a resolution, that is an awesome resolution. I knew I was going to say it. Excuse me, commercial here. You remember the commercial on TV where the kids around the table with the guy talking, and the guy says, talking about resolutions, he says, revolution. I saw that commercial and I had it fixed in my mind. You aren't going to get it out of it. That's done. Okay. All right. Another good point. Matthew 5:44. And just tell you, the Bible is full of things like this. These are some of the things just close to me. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Gosh, how many enemies do we have at work? Do we have at Walmart? Do we have anywhere? You know, if somebody rubs you the wrong way, treat them kind. Treat them good. What a resolution you could have there. Help me, Lord, to love my enemies and to do good to those that hurt or persecute me. Another. In Luke 6:31, just as you want people to treat you, treat them the same way. It's just the golden rule, right? Don't you want that? Don't you want people to treat you just like you treat them? I think I said that backwards, didn't I? Yeah, I think I said that backwards. Yeah, well, at least I'm keeping you awake. Treat people the way you want to be treated. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I know I learned to quote this the wrong way, but in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in you. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. Have a thankful heart in everything you do. And we go through some, as Christians, we're being tried, we're being tested, we're being prepared as brides for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And He's going to carry you through some muddy water. And a lot of circumstances are going to come our way. Some circumstances are going to be nice and pleasant, joyful. Some are not. Perhaps sickness, perhaps financial, perhaps struggles here, struggles there. Ask God for a revelation to give you a thankful heart. To thank Him and to praise Him in all that you do, irregardless of what comes your way. Even though you have to go to Walmart on Saturday, thank the Lord. Obviously a pet peeve, right? And we can't leave out Galatians 5:22, right? Fruits of the Spirit, which are, but the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? Is anybody having a problem with self-control? Ask the Lord to help you. Now, hey, this isn't hard. When you ask things in line with what God wants you to be, there's not any problem from God in answering that request. Are we right? Lord, do you want me to love people? Well, duh. Ask Him. You might not see an immediate result. But God is not in a hurry. He'll work in you and develop in you what He wants to, His own time and plan. And we'll get to that again in a minute. I know I'm getting kind of high on it. Every time I put something off, Ann charges me 25 cents. It used to be a penny, and it's just you got tired of it, so it went up. Let's look. I'm about to read this. Let's look and just to run through real quick. Let's look at Romans 12. I wish Bob Burdick was here. I could get on to him about Romans. Yeah, but do's and don'ts. A whole list of them here. Do's and don'ts. Is that it? That's good. Well, spell check said it was that way. Anyway. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Any one of those things. And I said, the New Testament is just full of things that we can do as Christians. And just ask. Ask God to develop, work in you, any one of these. It seemed like I probably stumbled too much because I asked the Lord just to do all of them. I can't wait, you know. But just do all of them. And of course, at the end of the year, I don't know which one he really did, but I know he did something. You know, that's the point. You don't necessarily have to know, but you do know he did do it. Right? Right. Okay. One more in this thought. In Philippians 3:12-14. And the bottom line is, still reading the whole scripture, the point being is to press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downtrodden by sin, or don't be trodden down by if you make a resolution and not being able to keep it, or you forget it like me or whatever. Just press on. Keep on going. Keep on going, because your goal is not fixed on resolutions, which is kind of like a type of the world, because resolution is not mentioned in the Bible. So if it isn't in the Bible, evidently it came from the world. And some of the things the world does is not necessarily bad, but don't be misguided by it. Keep your focus on God, or the God, the kingdom of God that's within you. All right, let's look at our resolutions. No promises from God to be thankful for. Some of them you know very, very well. Think about in Romans 8:28. We know. Got it up there. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let that sink in a minute. You know you have been called, assuming that everyone here is a child of God. You know you've been called. You know you've been set apart for God. You know you love Him. So the prerequisites are met, right? So everything that God brings your way, good or bad, is for a reason, for a purpose. We need to go back to being thankful for all things. This is a promise from God. He will work in your life for His praise and for His glory. And that's a hard verse to understand, because really we tend to thank God for the good things that come our way. But when trials or tribulations come our way, that's hard to get thanks for. But he'll do it, and he's preparing you to be a bride. And off text, you don't have this up here, but in Romans 8:29, that you are being prepared as a bride for the bridegroom. Another verse is in sticking with Romans, just one more verse, Romans 8:31b-32. If God is for you, who can be against you? Think about that a minute. God, is anybody more powerful than God? Absolutely not. Not even Satan or any of his hosts or anything else. If he's for you, nobody can be against you. He loves you. He is for you. It goes on to say, just think about this. These are awesome. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And it don't specify wants or needs, but I'm positive he gives you your needs. Sometimes he gives you your wants. Sometimes the wants will take you down. Sometimes they'll build you up. But, you know, and there's another scripture. If we've been good, generous people give good gifts to our children, how much more would our Heavenly Father give to us? He's always there for you. Another verse, Philippians 1:6. Promises from God. I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in me will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise you can hold on to. It will happen. Just as sure as you're sitting here right now, it'll happen. He didn't necessarily say that He'll do it tomorrow or next week or anywhere else. But before you go to meet Him in there, you'll be there. You'll be there. Perfected for Him. Another one in Philippians 2:33-4. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, not ours. Many times we think of resolutions in respect to what can I reap for myself. What about give me a resolution that I can use to help somebody else? Change me that I might be a tool of yours to change others. Here's one that I really like too. It's Psalms 32:8. The Lord is speaking here. I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That is a promise from God. He'll do that for every one of us. He's always there. What did He say? Lo, and I behold with you, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with you. He's with you. The Holy Spirit lives with each child of God, and that's where His kingdom is. Jesus Christ is always there, interceding between us and God the Father. Always there. Always to help you. I've used the illustration before that if life is kind of like a baseball game. You get up there and fortunate enough to get a hit. And you just start running with all your might toward first base. And you get around first base and you hit the bag and trip and fall. Stumble. Who's there to pick you up? No one but Jesus. There to pick you up. Sometimes I'll make bad choices and I'll veer off to the right, thinking I'm supposed to be catching the ball out there. And I'll veer off to the right or to the left. But God's there saying, push me right there. Well, left or right, whatever it takes to get me on that line from first base to second base. And as we continue to go with our life's journey, all the way around those bags, one day we're going to make it home. And it's going to be God that's got us there. All the way. All the way. Again, let me quote it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I am confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in me will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. On and on and on and on and on we go with promises from God. Look at Jeremiah 29:11, and then you can correlate this with Ezekiel 36:31, I think it is. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, for not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I don't know if you know it or not, but God is for you. Anything He can do, any way He can do it, to encourage you, to motivate you, to help you to be that bride that He wants you to be when we go home, to have that supper with our Lord Jesus Christ. Resolutions, I'm not saying don't make them. Y'all might have better memories than I do. But when I make them, and I've made a lot of them in my time, and well, to be honest with you, I can't remember ever remembering one of them. And I prayed for some good things. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Certainly that would be a godly thing. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better employer, employee. You know, good things. Good things. And I guess all that fits into God's plans. Probably just wrong timing. Or I'm looking for it to happen in a year. And God says, no, I'll develop you over 5 years in that area. Or 10 years. You know. Like they said, I want this now. Well, God says, no, you're not ready for it. Wait. But those are good things to ask for. But things like we've seen here, you know, you've seen the promises of God, and this is just a small portion. I mean, there's something like 100 or 200 promises from God. You can get real easy out of God's Word. Some of the things we can do, just ask Him. Create in me a clean heart. Give me a thankful spirit. Help me to love. These are things God is directly involved with, and He will. He will do it. I remember Linda and me caught a hold of this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's also in Ephesians 5:20, I think, about giving thanks in all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we asked Him to do that. We memorized the Scripture, and slowly, God would bring it to our mind. Every time I stump my foot or hit my thumb on my hammer or something like that, Lord would bring it to my mind. Thank me. Thank me. And you would be surprised. Did that one time, I just came down real good on my thumb. And man, Lord taught me about cussing a long time ago, but it hurt. But just for a pause there, He said, thank you. I said, thank you, Father, for that. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how less my thumb hurt. It's just amazing. Ask Him. Ask Him. You know, you have not because you ask not, right? Is that right? You have not because you ask not. I guess the focal point is again, resolutions are nice. If you want to do them, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But I would encourage you very much so to look toward Jesus. Look toward Jesus. He's got the answers. And He's promised you to take care of you and to lead you home. And He will do it. We sit here and say, it's an absolute fact that I'm saved. No doubt about this. You know, we're easy to believe that. But can we believe God to carry us the rest of the way through? That's another issue, isn't it? They had that problem in Galatians where it said, you believe by the Spirit, but yet you don't allow the Holy Spirit. You're going back to the law instead of listening to the Spirit for your sanctification, your further growth. He'll do it. Believing, He'll do it. It's fact. It's fact. I forgot. I guess we're going to close now. I hope the message is something, an inspiration to you to put our trust and our focus in God, because He has an answer for every situation and every circumstance. So keep your eyes fixed on Him. He's the man. Did you want to have an altar call? If anyone feels like they need to come and spend some time with the Lord, you're welcome to do that. We're going to play some music, right? And as some music's going on, feel free to come down. If there's anything else, like you want to join the church. I'm not very good at this. A little bit later, okay? Be fine. If you want to come down to the altar, fine. If there's some rededication or anything, or want to receive the Lord, or any issue at all, or just want to come down and spend some time with the Lord, that's fine. Glenn and Scott and Micah and I'll be up here. If anybody really need to talk to somebody, feel free to do so. Mike?